This week, this just happened. An experience shared from one of the many haunted places to stay in Canada's most haunted town, Niagara-on-the-Lake. This time, it's all about the Oban Inn. You know what, everyone? I've come to a determination. I sit down and I think about the frequency that I do things and tasks in life, and I was like, you know, I love doing the podcast. I love talking to you guys, but I think it's too much. I don't know. It's like, you know, every week I sit down with a new topic and I discuss it. It might be a little bit of overkill. I like to think I'm the only one in the world that there's not that many podcasts out there, right? I mean, there's not too many, right? But I just, I'm going to draw back a tad. Doing it every single week seems like a little bit too much. It's too much maybe for myself in relation to having a lot of subjects moving forward and keeping the podcast going for a very long time, and relation to being too much for you guys who probably have like 20 other, 30 other podcasts that you're listening to. I'm not the only one. I know you're cheating on me. I can feel it. So for that reason, I just want to give a heads up that I am going to dial it back a tad. I'm only going to do shows every other Wednesday. So currently it's every Wednesday. I'll be switching it to every other Wednesday, meaning today is April 10th. And that means the next show will be on the 24th. And the next show after that will be on May 8th, and so on and so forth. If this is something that you don't want, if you're happy to hear my annoying voice every single week, just let me know. And that's totally fine. I'm not sure I would change back just from my own point of view. I guess I'm feeling kind of lazy. Might change in the future. I might switch it back to weekly again. But just note, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to continue doing these shows as long as people want to listen. The minute I hit zero listeners, then I'm done. If that one day might happen, I'm sure I'll annoy enough people by that time. But for now, it will be every other week. I was very excited to get an email message from a fellow who comes from the United States. His name is William Pollard. Now, thank you so much, William. If you're by chance you're listening to this show, thank you so much for sharing your experiences. And he was staying overnight at the Oban Inn for a couple days, and during that time, two different occurrences happened to him in this building. Now, if you're not familiar with the Oban, if you haven't been on the ghost walks, that is one of our stops. And the Oban is a beautiful hotel that was built technically back in the 1800s, and it's located off the main street, so not a lot of people get to see it. There's a sign off of Queen Street that points you. It's actually closer to the lake. So I assume that, well, it would have been Captain Molloy's choice of living near the lake was because it was so picturesque at the time. Now, blocked by houses, but back then it was. And eventually the Oban Inn sprouted from Captain Molloy's decision. So why is the Oban Inn there in the first place? Well, this goes back to the private residence of a fellow named Captain Duncan Molloy. He was a steamboat captain. Now, he would regularly launch from Niagara, so Niagara was his home. Niagara-on-the-Lake was originally the only Niagara. That's the most historic spot, actually one of the most historic spots in all of Ontario. And he captained a steamboat called, and it's kind of confusing, but his boat was named the City of Toronto. Now, this wasn't the City of Toronto, this was just a boat, but it was called the City of Toronto for some reason I'll never understand. And it said he continued running the steamboat even after the railway came along. You know, the railway take most of the business from the boats. Boats originally delivering goods and transporting people. When the railway came along, not so much. I do have a bit of a commentary on this just to do a shameless plug for the Dundas Ghost Walks, which are happening now, that I talk a little bit about, you know, the history of the railway and how it changed the makeup of the land, because the railway used to be all about the waters and the boats, and then it became about the railway, but that's unrelated. So he continued to run the steamship for many, many years. Eventually, he retired, and he retired to his house, which was located exactly where the Oban is today. So if you don't know where the Oban Inn is, look it up on Google Maps. You'll see it's just beyond the main street of Niagara-on-the-Lake. Beautiful building, beautiful hotel. So he used to have a house there. The house has nothing to do with the current building, as you'll hear in a moment. And then Captain Molloy died in 1871, and he had left the house to his son, Bill Molloy. Now, Bill was kind of a businessman. He foresaw the budding tourism that was starting in Niagara because of the falls. And in 1895, he decided to take advantage of this in such an extreme way that what he did is he actually tore down his own family's home. So the family home where all the memories are, where he lived, where he grew up, memories of his father and mother. And he's like, nope, I got to make some money. Now that is a businessman, everybody. Can't say I agree with it on an emotional level, but when it comes to it, that is a businessman. He is tearing down your own family home to make money off of tourism. That's extreme. So in 1895, he did this. He builds the hotel, and eventually it would be called the Oban Inn. Now, hear me sort of hinting as I go that the current Oban and the original Oban aren't exactly the same. And this is true, and the reason why is what happened in the year 1992. And of all times for such a tragedy to occur, it was on Christmas Eve. So Christmas Eve of 1992, a fire started which would take the building. I just happened to be able to pull up an original article from the fire. This was published on Monday, December 28th of 1992. And I'll post it in the Ghost Guy Daniel podcast discussion group. So if you're not part of that, go and join that. That's on Facebook. Just search Ghost Guy Daniel. It should pop up. I like to post some of my materials in there. I always put the new shows every week as they come up. Or now, as I mentioned at the beginning, every other week. So I'll put this newspaper article. And actually has a picture of the Oban after it burnt. And I want you to look at it, and you can see, compared to what they built today, it's actually exactly the same. They just did a pretty much, I see some differences, but pretty much an exact copy of the original Oban. And at that time, it was owned by a fellow named Gary Burroughs, and his family had owned the Oban since the 1960s. So in the article, it describes a little bit about what was going on with the building at the time and what it was like. So I'll quote it for you. This is from the St. Catherine Standard. They say the burnt out shell of the white building coated in thick layers of ice continued to smolder until 2 a.m. This is on Christmas Eve. Firefighters couldn't get their hoses at the third story linen room, which had sunk into the floor before, so it was collapsing. And the roof then collapsed on top of that. Quote, they had a hard time getting at it, said Burroughs, who was the owner, who went to the inn at 8:30 p.m. when he heard the fire alarm ring. So this is on the night of the fire. He was there. It was raging at 8:30 p.m. on Christmas Eve. Now, then talks about how there was guests who were eating. So there's about 200 people dining inside the building. And thankfully, they were all shown out. And a couple of the guests, they didn't want to leave their stuff. So they actually went back to the room, and somebody had to run after them and say, hey, do you not notice the fire that's raging around you, that's about to kill you, and bring them out. That's how much people wanted to get their clothing. So the Ontario Fire Marshal investigator, who later talked to the diners, and this was specific diners who were against the wall below room 2, and they suspected the problem was behind the wall, I guess, starting from room 2. So they say that they noticed an acrid smell, which hints of an electrical fire. But at that point, it wasn't fully certain. But the fire marshals did believe an electrical fire is what caused the damage that started the fire that destroyed the original historic Oban Inn. Now, even though people did not get hurt, there was a lot of things that were lost in the fire. Obviously, people's personal belongings, things in the building. But it says here, quote, lost in the blaze, whipped by winds that gusted at 50 kilometers an hour, were a number of antiques, including vases, busts, and photographs. However, Burroughs and the firefighters did manage to salvage a painting of his mother, Edna, which was remarkably undamaged. Now, that's something to think about. It's like out of everything getting destroyed in the building that, I guess, somebody who was either a previous owner or married to a previous owner, his mother's painting was saved. So I guess there was a bright spot on it. And a painting and bust of George Bernard Shaw, and the photos which adorn Shaw's corner in the bar of actors who have played in the Shaw Festival were all saved as well. So you see that there was a guardian angel watching over this to make some sure some important artifacts were saved in the blaze. Now, in relation to the ghosts, obviously, the Oban will have something to do with the original owner of the house that once was there, Captain Duncan Molloy, and that's 100% true. Now, what caused his spirit to come back, like any ghost stories you've ever heard, is going to be open to interpretation. It's not going to be 100%. But when you look back on the history of the building and what happened there with the original house being torn down by the son, Bill Molloy, you can almost guess what would stir up the spirit. And this is what's thought, is that it was the actions of his son which brought him back. And one of the rumors that they stated was that Bill used to have dreams about his father. And I mean, it's obvious, you lose a loved one, you're going to have dreams about them. But in this, it was almost like the father, Duncan, he was coming back to admonish his son, like put him down and yell at him for the fact that he tore down the family home, which is obviously something that he did not want. And it's not so much that he tore it down, but he also tore it down in a pursuit that might be considered a little underhanded when it comes compared to family and love of family, and that's the gaining and the seeking of money. So for that reason, it tended to stir up the spirit of Captain Duncan Molloy, and maybe even kept him angry throughout the years to this very day. So the original story of Molloy coming back to torture his son through his dreams is only the beginning. And then later on, they would talk about hearing footsteps coming from the third floor. So basically, if you were in the second floor in a room just below a certain space, that you might hear pacing back and forth from up on the third floor. And the workers and the people over the years who've heard about this experience have it attributed to Captain Duncan Molloy. They believe that's his way now communicating with the guests and with the workers that he's still there. Obviously, his son is long dead, so at this point, maybe he's finally calmed down. Maybe not as angry as he used to be, but 100% trying to show us that he's still inside the building. The reason I get on with that in relation to the ghost stories and the energy is just kind of introduce the experiences that happened to a fellow named William Pollard. Again, thank you so much for sending these experiences in. You know, unfortunately, we don't tend to hear a lot about the Oban. You can get a lot of energy in places like the Prince of Wales Hotel, the Pillar and Post, of course, the old courthouse. Some of the old bed and breakfast houses have talked about having experiences as well. At certain times, the energies can be much more raised than others, and maybe it just happened to be they were in there at the right time. This was at the end of March. So they left before all the craziness came in with the solar eclipse that just happened. So there's been thoughts whether the solar eclipse could stir things up down here on Earth, which, I mean, that could be 100% true. Anything that's happening in the solar system related to the moon phases especially can definitely affect the energies down here on Earth. So when you have a solar eclipse that's coming, there was some paranormal investigators, Ian and Trudy, who I've worked with many times before from Ghost Hunt Paranormal, they tried this as well. And although they were unsuccessful, it was worth the try because it's something that only happens, I think, was it every 80 years? But they were there just before that. You know, this might have something to do with it. So the very first experience happened on the morning of the second day. It was him and his wife who were staying in the room, just the two of them. Then he had ended up in the room by himself because he had a nosebleed that wouldn't stop. So he rushed back to the hotel and he was trying to clean the nosebleed and at the same time flushing the toilet paper down the toilet over and over again, flushing, flushing, flushing. And when he got it to about the third or fourth time, he said that the chain and the flapper had come off. Now, if you guys know, if you lift up the tank of the toilet, you know how the handle attaches to a chain. The chain then goes down to a plunger, like flapper thing, that blocks the water from being able to go out. So when you hit the handle, it lifts the flapper. So then the water flushes down into the tank, and that's what causes the toilet to flush. So he went over and over, and he went so many times that he thought the chain had come loose. You know, when you hit the handle, and it's just very loose, nothing ever happens, that means the chain has come loose. So he removes the lid off the toilet, looks inside, and he can see that the chain had come off the hook at the handle side and that it was at the bottom of the tank, just kind of coiled up like a snake. So he looked at the hook that normally attaches the chain to the metal arm, and that was missing. So he looks inside the tank. He's looking for the hook because it was working, right? He flushed it about four times before that happened, and he didn't see the hook anywhere inside the tank. Obviously, he has to call somebody to help him with this, but he didn't want to leave it with the bloody toilet paper inside. That doesn't look good. So he goes inside the room to look for anything to tie the chain, you know, a twist tie, a rubber band, something. And what he ended up taking is actually quite creative. He found a string from a tea bag. He took that. He was going to just tie the string up. He had going. So he comes back to the toilet, which he had replaced the lid. He takes the lid back off again, looks inside, and he's absolutely shocked. He said the hook was back on the end of the chain. It wasn't there. It wasn't flushing. He left the room to go try and find a solution. He comes back, opens it up, and everything's fine. So the hook and the chain, it's connected to the metal arm. He puts the lid back on again, flushes. The toilet flushes, no problem at all. So it absolutely blew his mind to have this strange experience. Something I personally, after over 20 years in the paranormal, have not heard something along these lines. This shocks me as well. But it wasn't even so much that he had that one experience and say, oh, I had this experience, I'll never forget it. But no, there was something else as well. So something reaches out to him, but then it also reached out to try and freak out his wife too. So it was the final night of their trip. They're back in the room just trying to relax. They knew they had a long flight to go home the next day back to the United States. So he was going to go straight to bed and get a good night's sleep, but the wife wanted to calm down a bit. So she goes into the bathroom to take a bubble bath, and he was just about to fall asleep when he hears his wife shouting, "Out! Get out!" And then he heard her from the window. He opened the window and kept shouting, "Get out!" So he runs inside. He's freaked out. He asks her what happened. And she said while she was in the tub, she thought she saw her husband standing in the shower staring at her. So she was in the tub and she looks at the shower and there's a man standing there looking at her. And she thought it was just her husband messing with her. So she, you know, aggressively tells him, if you're married, you know what it is, aggressively tells him to get out, stop acting creepy. And then there was nobody there. Now, the whole time, he was in the bed. So I'm sure the both of them probably didn't get that much sleep during the night, and the next day slept on the plane during the flight home. And one of the last things he said here at the end, it was just something that just kind of didn't really catch me off guard. I completely understand the point of view. And maybe I'll do this. I'm going to do this as a poll on that discussion page, Ghost Guy Daniel Podcast Facebook discussion page. I'm going to ask, if an experience like this or something ghostly happens to you, would you ever consider going back to said accommodations or said hotel ever again? Especially if it freaked you out, would you go back there? So his final statement was he's not sure he would ever stay in that room again. Now, I've never seen this personally. If somebody else has seen this, you can let me know. Has anybody ever left a bad review because of a ghost? I don't know. Like, I've heard, you know, bad reviews in relation to ghosts, like with tours and hunts, not mine, not the ones I do, because they're always awesome. But with other ones. And people saying, oh, that wasn't ghostly enough. But I mean, if you were staying in a hotel not wanting the ghost and the ghost shows up and freaks you out on two occasions, like with these folks, would it prompt you enough to leave a bad review or to decide I'm never going back? And I'll put the poll on the discussion page probably in the next few days. So again, I would like to thank Mr. Pollard, William Pollard. Thank you so much for sending these stories through. It's just amazing to get these experiences, especially from the O'Ban. Again, we don't hear a lot from them over the years. They've been featured in certain books. They've been featured on paranormal websites. You don't get a lot of reports from the O'Ban Inn. And I think one of the reasons why is because of the fact that the building is technically not historic anymore. Because the original late 1800s building burnt to the ground in 1992. Then you got to ask, does the energy follow it over to the new one? Now, I think it did because of the fact that the new building is exactly the same as the old one. So all the certain rooms are in the exact same spot that they were before. And sometimes you'll get situations like with Molly Maguire at the Prince of Wales, where it was originally a house that was on the land, the second floor where she died. So it just so happens that the room 208 is in the same spot of the bedroom where she was murdered, according to the legend. So that's the reason why her energy remains in that space. So when you have a building put on the spot the exact same manner, then I'm assuming the ghostly experiences will happen in the exact same spot as well. As just a little side note, I do have the room number that they were staying in during their stay. It was room 225. So this would have been on the second floor. So if anybody has any more information on that, I would love to hear about it. Oh, and a little side note as well. I say congratulations to William and his wife. They were celebrating their 34th wedding anniversary on the trip. Kind of a crappy way to have your wedding anniversary, especially if you're not into ghosts. I think people who are into ghost hunting would be totally cool with it, but them not so much. But the original thought of the O'Ban still being haunted, even though it's a newer building, I think is 100% the case. I do believe that to be very possible from a point of view of the paranormal. And again, like I said, I'm very happy to have these experiences come in. And thank you so much again for sending them in to us. Hey, that's the show, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. Again, as I mentioned before, I'm switching to every other week. So the next show will not be the 17th, but instead the 24th. What I'll try and do as well is make them a little bit longer, get it back up to the 30 or 40 minute mark. And next week is a bit of a robust subject, so we should be able to do that. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be doing the subject of Marie Laveau. This is the voodoo queen of New Orleans. Some amazing experiences and history related to this woman who's been passed along to, you know, television shows and to infamous history. And you might be shocked about some of the things related around her. It's definitely a wonderful subject, and I'm looking forward to talking about it. With that, I'll bring the show to the end. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Ghost Guy Daniel, and I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.